Gospel reading this morning comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 16 through 20, and that can be found on page 1550 in the Pew Bible. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age." The word of God for the people of God.
Our second reading today is from 2 Corinthians, chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. Listen now for the word of the Lord. "Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice, strive for restoration, encourage one another, be of one mind, live in peace, and the love of God and the peace The God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All God's people here send their greetings. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen." Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the many names in which you present yourself among us. We ask that you would help us to understand today a little better the point of the Trinity. Help us to grasp your goodness through it all. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So today is one of those special Sundays on the church calendar where we celebrate not a specific event in the Bible or in Scripture, but rather a theological principle. Not unlike many of your Hallmark holidays, right? Your Valentine's Day, your Mama's Day, your Father's Day. It is a day built around a concept, an idea. And what a confusing idea it is. When you start digging into the idea of the Trinity, that God is three persons in one being, right? And how it works, it all starts at some point to feel like you're studying quantum physics or something, dissecting protons and electrons. It's enough to make your head spin. And because I am a pastor who loves to give the congregations that I serve experiential sermons, I am going to give you a little taste of how confusing it can be. Can you hit that slide for me, Roger? Here we go. This is a quote from the great theologian Karl Barth, who was famous for writing three pages in which he could have said just a paragraph. So I'm going to read this, and if any of you can understand it, I'm going to ask you to come up here and finish this sermon for me. Okay? So here we go. I'm just going to read it. You can just follow, see if you can follow along on the overhead here. "What we have here are God's specific, different, and always very distinctive modes of being. This means that God's modes of being are not to be exchanged or confounded. In all three modes of being, God is the one God, both in himself and in relation to the world and man. But this one God is God three times in different ways, so different that it is only in this threefold difference that he is God, so different that this difference, this being, in these three modes of being is absolutely essential to him, so different then that this difference is immovable." All right, raise your hand. Who got it? Come on up. Okay, here goes Bud. Bud, you got it, Bud. I need you up here. I need you up here because I don't know. This is the kind of reading we had to do in seminary, by the way. And when you were, when I was in my dorm room reading this, I just thought, I'm throwing this out the window. This is insane. What is he saying? It's like craziness. So when you get into the weeds of trying to understand how God can be three and one at the same time, you start to spend a significant amount of time contemplating the internal nature of God. It starts to make God feel very distant, disconnected. And the worst is when God starts to feel so strange and unknowable that we lose any sense of God's presence with us. And I don't care how many children's sermons you have seen or heard about Trinity, right? They come up here and go, water is like the Trinity because it's liquid, ice, and vapor. Oh, I got it now. No, you don't got it. That's not it. Hold on, I got another one. Apple, right? Apple has flesh, right? The flesh inside has got the skin and it's got the core. That's like the Trinity. Not quite. Because when you start to approach the idea of the Trinity to figure out who God is, what the nature of God is, you're always and forever going to be confused and frustrated. So we need to do something important when we approach the idea of the Trinity. We need to shift perspectives. Instead of trying to figure out the nature of God, we should be seeking to understand the nature of our relationship with God. Because when you get down to it, the idea of the Trinity was created to help explain the different ways God works and lives in our lives. Just like I told the kids, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. It wasn't supposed to be this over our heads concept that one that you can't understand, but one that helped us see the depth and the power of the relationship God has with us, God's creation. So you have to think about it this way. I've always, before I had kids, of course, I had no way to fathom, you know, what it would be like to have kids or what kind of love I would have for these children. I remember when Anne was pregnant the first time, I just imagined that there was just a ball with arms and legs kicking at her. And it was just like this idea, it's like, what is this? What is this thing? And then the minute they come out, right, you go, I love you. How is that possible? I didn't know you up to this minute, and here I am falling in love with this child the minute I see him, right? And I think about this for God, right? That we can explore the nature of love, the nature of parenthood, and the try to quantify the love you have for your child. But the only way that we see that love that you have for your child is in your actions, how you care for them, how you love them, what you do for them time and time and time again. And Jerry and I will tell you that last night we had to do time and time again to get those boys to go to sleep. Because you're at camp, what are we doing, you know? You only know the love of God through God's relationship and what God does for us. So the Trinity describes perfectly what God does and is doing. As the Creator or Father, God has formed the world and universe around us, shaped us, and its incredible diversity and beauty for us to explore and to care for. As Redeemer through Jesus Christ, we die with Jesus and are reborn with Jesus every day, constantly being shaped into the people God wants us to be. And as Sustainer, as Spirit, we are energized to leave our places of comfort and share and live the good news that we have been given. Do you hear how each part of the Trinity clearly shows us the depths and the power of God's love for us? So we don't need to seek and contemplate the nature of God. We don't need to do a whole bunch of navel gazing where we just sit in the sky and we think, all right, I'm going to figure this out, God. Okay, it's not coming. When we can witness firsthand the ways God has deeply invested in us when we go out into the world. I think this is an important lesson for us as a church. As Christians, we love to over-explain who God is and what is and what is not being a good Christian, what God likes and what God doesn't like. We think that people might understand it if we just say the right words, like it'll suddenly click the minute we just say those right things. And they go, oh, now I get it. Yes, I believe. People are not going to understand the nature of Christianity. They're not going to understand what it means to be Christian or the love of God through words alone. Christianity, much like the Trinity, is best learned through actions and is best learned through the sharing of God's love that has been shown to us. A person at my last church, his name was Sean. In fact, I married Sean and his wife, and they were big Star Trek fans. So I started off the sermon, my marriage sermon, speaking Klingon to them. They were such big fans. But he recounted to me this story. He lived in Iowa, and one night he was driving through Iowa with a couple buddies of his. And they broke down. They ran out of gas on the side of the road in Iowa. And as they're straight into the highway, this guy comes up with his son, and they go, "Hey, what's going on?" They go, "Oh, we ran out of gas. Can't figure out what's going on. You know, we need gas." The guy goes, "Yeah, I'll go do that for you." And the guy goes, gets gas, brings it over to Sean. They fill up, and the guy says, "I did this because God loved me, and I want you to know that I love you and I want to help you." And I remember Sean being so impressed. This guy felt the moment that he could share that with him, that he could help that person in that moment and want to say, "This is why I do this, because God has loved me and I want to figure out how I can show that love to all those that I meet." That simple action did more than 1,000 sermons ever could. I could be up here and preach 1,000 amazing sermons, which I haven't done, and they still are not going to get any more powerful than what that guy did for my buddy at my last church. So today, I want you to think about how you all can share that love. Spread the love of God. Spread the grace of Jesus. Spread the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Not by trying to over-explain it to people with confusing words, but through acts of love and grace to all those you meet, to your neighbor, to anyone that you encounter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.